Welcome to another episode of the Identity Theft Warriors, your frontline defense against identity theft. We're all about prevention. To find out more, go to keepmyid.org. Use the code FSN2 and you can get started now. Welcome. You are listening to the Identity Theft Warriors. I'm Kerry Lutz, and this is part 20. And it's not the identity theft that you know about that's going to get you, perhaps, but the identity theft or the breaches, the data breaches going on all over the place that you don't know about. That's most troubling. And Rob Douglas, you are a nationally recognized identity theft expert and information security consultant, specialize in the investigation and prevention of identity theft, former private investigator, expert witness in these cases, testified about identity crimes, Rob, including Homeland Security implications before the Congress on numerous occasions, and your investigations and testimony have led to passage of numerous state and federal laws designed to protect consumer records from identity theft. So who better to have on than you, Rob? Welcome.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so we're really experiencing in the United States an epidemic of identity theft, and really brought to light by the breach of the Federal Office of Personnel Management, where, depending what day you read it, it's anywhere from 1.5 million to 25 million people have had some of your data grabbed by either hackers or Chinese government spies. Who knows who it really was? We're not going to know that probably in our lifetimes, but it's really a huge problem of national scope.
It really is, Kerry, and I think this one has highlighted for many Americans the danger. I've received numerous calls from friends and business associates who either are still working for the government, worked for the government once upon a time. A good friend of mine who's got a son who just got his top secret security clearance with the government and is very concerned about what this means, frankly, for not just his son, but the rest of the family, and even friends and neighbors. What a lot of people don't realize with the Office of Personnel Management, the OPM hack, is the depth and breadth of the data stolen is far more than any other data breach that we probably have ever seen in our lifetimes, or at least that we're aware about. Because in those files are fingerprints. In those files for government personnel who have security clearances, or who may be in undercover positions, not only in China but anywhere around the world, holding themselves out as business people or diplomatic personnel, as compared to what they're really doing, undercover investigative work for the government. All of that's in those files. Which, if it is the Chinese, that's probably what they were after. So the bad thing is, obviously, the dangers associated with that information being tapped by a foreign government. The good thing, if there could be any good thing out of this, Kerry, is I think it has awakened our country to the dangers. The government has certainly known. You and I have known. Your listeners have known because of the broadcast that you do on a regular basis. But a lot of Americans just go through life never thinking about this. I think this one might be waking them up.
Yeah, I hope so. The only reason why, I guess, identity theft is not as widespread in the rest of the world as in the U.S., probably more records in the U.S., more data is online than anywhere else, but it's spreading to the rest of the world as well. You heard about the bank theft. They stole over $1 billion from banks in every developed country in the world. So it's really international in scope as well.
There's no doubt about it. You know, what I tell a lot of my friends and clients and audiences like yours is talking identity theft, and if we even broaden that out, cybercrime, because most of identity theft today is cybercrime. There's still some of the old-fashioned, you know, mail stealing and somebody steals records out of your house. That still happens. But these bigger hacks, these bigger dangers, if you will, are usually cybercrime. This will be the number one topic, I'm convinced, for the rest of our lifetime, certainly for the rest of our professional lifetime, because we are just seen the beginning of this trend. As overwhelming as it is, as big as the OPM hack, you know, right before we came on air, we were talking about the latest Android hack. There are just so many methods that we're learning about every day. And I'm convinced we're just seeing the front end of it, for large part because of what you just mentioned, Carrie. Yes, the United States is being hit because our databases have been around longer. There's so much more in them. But think about some of the countries that are really coming online now. China, India, some of these countries that we used to think of as third world countries that are being modernized very quickly from a cyber criminal perspective, from an identity thief perspective, that the horizon is endless. There will never not be the humongous supply of databases for them to attempt the breach.
Yeah, and it's really an equal opportunity crime. Wherever the opportunity exists, it's going to happen.
You know, what I often tell people is, and, you know, the old saying, speak crime doesn't pay. I'm sorry to say, when it comes to identity theft and cybercrime, crime does pay. The number of prosecutions, successful prosecutions, versus the number of times that these crimes are carried out, identity crime, you know, we can't even say that we're scratching the surface, Terry. The overwhelming majority of these criminals are getting away with it, and they are figuring out every day how to make this crime pay better and better, how to use identity documents or what they find in databases and translate that to cash. Just this morning, doing my daily reading to stay up to speed on what's going on, we talk about the new chip and PIN technology for credit cards, right?
Yeah.
Very common in the European countries, but just now being implemented in the United States. Well, a security researcher who I have a lot of faith in that I follow fairly regularly has an article out this morning about a new, you know, we talk about ATM skimmers, mm-hmm. credit card device skimmers. Well, right. There's another one called a shimmer, which is inserted into the slot of ATM machines to get that new chip and PIN data off of the card. So as quickly as we can, and it's never quick, right? Is it? It takes years even
to
start to implement chip and PIN. But as quickly as we do that, the bad guys are always three jumps at least ahead of us.
Yeah. So what are you supposed to do here, Rob? I mean, what's the solution?
Number one is what we're doing today. Number one is being aware of what's going on and aware that this is not even anymore a risk of happening to us. It's a fact. Every one of us listening to this broadcast today have had our identity stolen in one form or another in just the last 5 years. If you look at the statistics, it is a fact that everyone in the United States has had their data stolen at one point or another just in the last 5 years. So what do we do? I think right off the bat, you want to protect yourself from new account fraud. How do we do that? First and foremost, be sure you have a fraud alert on your credit files with at least all three of the major credit file providers, Equifax, Experian, TransUnion. You want to have a fraud alert at a base minimum. The other thing you can do is step that up one notch and put a credit freeze or a security freeze, it's called, on your credit report where no one could open a new account on your credit profile. Because remember, what we're trying to prevent is that the serious damage that would take us many, many hours to unwind, not to mention the inconvenience. So new account fraud, we're really trying to stop. The other things we want to be able to prevent are account takeover. So if we have existing, and I'm not talking about just credit cards here, because credit card companies will routinely just replace your card if that data is breached.
Right.
But what we want to worry about is our bank accounts, our checking accounts, our savings accounts, our stock funds, mutual funds, investment accounts. We want to be sure those are protected as well. So do we have passwords on them? Are they strong passwords? Whether it's online, yes, we think about that. But often what happens if, and one of my areas of expertise, you talked about my congressional testimonies on social engineering, that I can impersonate Carrie, and if I know who his bank is or who his investment house is, call in and impersonate him and try to take over his accounts and literally move the money out over the phone. So have your password protected telephonic communications. A lot of people don't think about that. We think about what we're doing online, but we don't think about that. Another area is if we haven't, we don't use online banking. A lot of people, well, if I don't do online banking or if I don't set up my investment accounts online, gee, nobody can ever steal my password. Not necessarily true, because often just the fact that it's available, that that service is available, means the first person to go in and set that up is able to take over the account. So you always want to be sure you have very strong passwords on any account, whether it's for telephonic access, if that's available, online access, if that's available, even if by mail. So you want to be thinking about that. But overall, be thinking about how would I prevent new account fraud and account takeover fraud.
That's really what it's about, and that's why our sponsor, KeepMyID.org, is really at the forefront of all of this, because when you sign up with them, you get fraud alerts. If you want credit freezes, they'll do credit freezes on all of your major credit reports. So it's got to start there, basically. And from there, then you go on to the other things, which you were mentioning. And yeah, I think setting up an account, an electronic account, electronic access for every account that you have is essential, because otherwise, if you don't do it, it makes it real easy for somebody else to do it. And then they got the keys to the mansion, effectively.
That's exactly right.
Exactly. So as far as where this is heading, obviously, business and government, even though their government is late to the party, as it were, is going to be implementing some pretty strict security protocols, like double verification, where you sign in and then it'll send your smartphone a verification code. You have that with Google now. You think that's going to become more widespread?
Yeah, no doubt about it, Kerry. We are seeing that become more widespread. But you just made a very important point. Government is always behind the times. Even businesses are behind the time. And one of the areas that I focus on is trying to reach out to SMBs, the small and medium-sized businesses, because they don't have compliance departments. They don't have security departments. They often won't be up to speed on what the latest risks are out there and what some of the latest solutions are. So what you find is, you know, the hackers, the bad guys, the identity thieves, the cyber criminals, they have all day to probe and probe and probe and to find organizations that are not up to speed. And it's a mistake. And ever since I got into this back in 1998, what I found was, and I was working with a lot of banking clients, yeah, Bank of America might be up to speed. Chase might be up to speed. You know, some of the Wells Fargo, they've got entire departments, but small banks, mom and pop banks around the country, and mom and pop businesses around the country, they're not up to speed. So one of the things is, as savvy consumers, we can be checking that ourselves. When, you know, I use a very small bank. I think they're very good security reasons, frankly, to use a small institution, in that I know my bankers know me. And if somebody tried to impersonate me, it's going to be a lot tougher for them to do so. At the same time, they may not have some of the technological advances that larger institutions are going to have. So as consumers, we can be pushing them. We can be saying, hey, this is what I want. If it's good enough for Bank of America to have double verification, then I want you to have the same here, you know, my little mom and pop bank. So you're right. They are going to be behind. The government is always going to be behind. It's just so large. I'll give you a quick example. 9/11 occurs. One of the first things we knew after 9/11, when the report came out, was that the FBI computer systems were so antiquated that they couldn't talk with one another via email or via other online systems from field office to field office. Here we are, how many years after 9/11, right? Coming up on 14 years, I guess. And those systems still aren't up to speed, because the government moves very slow in the contracting process, very slow when it comes to security solutions. So we have to be our own best defenders. We have to be sure, you know, what I tell people all the time is, treat your identification information, treat your account information like your child. always know who's got it and what kind of protection is there for it. And be a savvy consumer. Demand that the businesses that you do business with are up to speed in their security precautions.
I think that's a great point. So treat your ID information like it was a child. Protect it at all possible junctions. Never give it away to anybody freely. And keep it under lock and key. And don't put it in places where it could get stolen, like on your computer and on your smartphone. And so... Rob, on that note, where's the best place to find your work, your writing, and all that?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Rob Douglas, the number 3. Douglas is 1S, R-O-B-D-O-U-G-L-A-S, the number 3. And every day, multiple times a day, I tweet out some of the latest security threats. I try to keep that account fairly security-related. You might see a few personal tweets now and then. The other place is identitytheft.info, www.identitytheft.info. Lots of information there, resources, things about fraud alert, things about security freezes. And as you mentioned, the sponsor of the show provides those services, but you can read a little bit more about how those work, what they'll do for you. And there's a whole range of information there dealing with medical record identity theft, child identity theft, a whole range of information. So identitytheft.info is a good place to go.
All right. Identitytheft.info, as always, can be found in the show notes to this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. And basically, it starts with locking down your credit reports so people can't open accounts, can't take out mortgages, things like that, get credit lines. So keepmyid.org, use the code FSN2. And Rob, thanks so much for being on. We really appreciate it.
It is my pleasure. Anytime, Terry. I'd love to chat with you.
This has been another episode of the Identity Theft Warriors. To find out more, go to keepmyid.org and use the code FSN2 to get started now.